The reading from the Bible this morning is from Genesis chapter 41, and it's verses 41 to 57. So Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I hereby put you in charge of the whole land of Egypt." Then Pharaoh took his signet ring from his finger and put it on Joseph's finger. He dressed him in robes of fine linen and put a gold chain around his neck. He had him ride in a chariot as his second in command, and men shouted before him, "Make way!" Thus he put him in charge of the whole land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, but without your word, no one will lift hand or foot in all Egypt." Pharaoh gave Joseph the name Zaphnath-Paaneah, and gave him Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On, to be his wife. And Joseph went throughout the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he entered the service of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from Pharaoh's presence and traveled throughout Egypt. During the 7 years of abundance, the land produced plentifully. And Joseph collected all the food produced in those 7 years of abundance in Egypt and stored it in the cities. In each city, he put the food grown in the fields surrounding it. Joseph stored up huge quantities of grain, like the sand of the sea. It was so much that he stopped keeping records because it was beyond measure. Before the years of famine came, two sons were born to Joseph by Asenath, daughter of Potiphar, priest of On. Joseph named his firstborn Manasseh and said, "It is because God has made me forget all my troubles and all my father's household." The second son he named Ephraim and said, "It is because God has made me fruitful in the land of my suffering." The 7 years of abundance in Egypt came to an end, and the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph has said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt there was food. When all Egypt began to feel the famine, the people cried to Pharaoh for food. And Pharaoh told all the Egyptians, "Go to Joseph and do what he tells you." When the famine had spread over the whole country, Joseph opened the storehouses and sold grain to the Egyptians, for the famine was severe throughout Egypt. And all the countries came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph, because the famine was severe in all the world. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Good morning, everyone. My name's Scott. First of all, I might sound a bit croaky. I did a COVID test this morning. It's not COVID. It's probably just man flu. So I'm feeling, there's no inoculation. In fact, I once saw a rating on man flu. It says, go to bed, step one, or it's really bad, go to the doctor, or step three, forget the doctor, call the priest. But my name's Scott, and you might be wondering, if you're a guest here, how come there's two vicars? I'm Robin to Simon's Batman, if that makes sense, sense to you. And we're looking at this story this morning of Joseph. You're coming in a little bit at the end. It's not quite the end. We'll see there's something else to come. It's a good story, and we're going to see what has this story got to do with us. I mean, it's a great story, but it's in the past. What's it got to do with me today? In a world where we've just gone through a huge pandemic and we're possibly facing World War III. Not my words. One of our teenagers was very down about everything. It's a messed up world, and what's it got to do with me personally here today? Scott, you don't know my struggles. Hopefully you'll see the story of Joseph has something to say to you that might give you hope and help you. But first of all, to sharpen us, can everyone see this board? Yeah, okay, we're going to play, I don't know if it's Pictionary. It's more, guess what this is. Okay, so you can shout out when you think you know what it is, and then I'll give you a thumbs up prize, okay? Glass of wine. No, not quite a glass of wine. A coffee. Who said that? Who said someone down here said, well done. Cup of coffee. So you can recognize that. Okay. The next one, excuse, this is not photorealistic, so just excuse my skills, but you probably guess what it is. House. Yeah, I ain't even done it. I don't even have to do the rest. A house. Now, I don't know if you can see at the bottom. Try and see if you can guess what this is. Okay, I'm going to try and make it a bit. The point is you shouldn't get what it is because that's kind of what is going to happen. What we see here is it looks a bit like a U, but it goes up a bit, at the end. We will it's not a happy face. It's the shape of the story. It's what happens to Joseph, and we'll see that it's not only what happens to Joseph, it's what happens to us. And in a moment I'll see it even relates to the movie Frozen, but it also relates to you. And so what we see, this is the story of Joseph. I'll try and do it quickly and explain it to you. Now, our children, I don't know if Joseph and his Technicolor dream coat's still a thing. I mean, I did one in high school. I've got a feeling maybe it's, for us, that a little bit older. That there are films about it. It's a great story, but it starts off with a boy called Joseph who's really the favorite. So don't put your hands up, but do you think your brother and sister or someone is the favorite and you're not? Well, I always used to hear that from our sister. But we'll see, he was the favorite. Imagine if your brother or sister got given the latest Xbox or PlayStation and you weren't given anything. Or maybe a sports car. I know you can't drive, but a sports car and you won't. You'd be really upset. And Joseph, so I'm going to have to use, he was given a fancy coat. Now, when I got married, I wore this. And coming from South Africa, the town that I come from, which is really hot, very much beach culture, you're really smart if you're wearing a button-up shirt. In fact, you're even smart if you're wearing trousers and not board shorts. And so I wore this for my wedding. It doesn't button up anymore for some reason. And it was probably the smartest. So some of you look really smart today. And maybe if some of you thought back to your wedding or maybe looking forward to that day, you wear smart clothes. And Joseph got really the nicest there was. This is not as nice as Joseph. But imagine fancy silk and everything. And he had these wonderful robes. And his brothers were jealous. And Joseph had a dream that they were going to one day bow down to him, and they decide to get rid of him. And through, you can read the details, the juicy details. But they basically faked his death, sold him into slavery. He was a slave in Egypt, and that was bad. But eventually, he worked his way up to an important position in the household. And then lies were told about him. Again, it's very juicy and probably not PG for me to tell. But he ended up, even though he was innocent, thrown into prison. He was in the pit. And so he went from the robes to the chains, a prisoner. But even in prison, God looked after him. And he became sort of quite high up, but he was in prison. And he helped look after the guards. And then one day, two people close to the king ended up in prison. And they had dreams. And they didn't know what they were about. But God helped Joseph interpret the dreams. And eventually the cupbearer got out of prison. Things got better. And he forgot about Joseph. And then one day the king had these dreams. We looked at it last week. If you weren't here, again, the details are what comes before. And it's got to do with skinny cows and fat cows. But the point is, he said to Joseph, you know what dreams mean? He said, no, not me. God does. But I'll ask God. And it was looking to the future to predict that there was going to be 7 years of plenty and then 7 years of famine. Now, people pay lots of money to look at the future. It might be fake things like horoscopes or whatever you believe in that. But I mean, like, think about the weather, how much money the best mathematicians are putting, and sometimes they get it right. I don't know anything about stocks and everything like that, but if you've got the edge, then inside information, then you can know what's going on. And here, God is giving them 14 years of information. And So Joseph now goes from zero. So he's a bit of a hero. He goes to zero. Now he's ultra hero. He gets robes put back on him, we're told in this passage. Special robes, royal robes. He becomes, in fact, the second most powerful person in the country. He's, for want of a better word, the prime minister. Not only that, is he gets given an official title. So he's wearing royal robes. He's not known as that strange foreigner, that weird South African that talks from down south or something like that. He's totally accepted as royalty. He's even given an Egyptian name. And then, to make things better, he gets given a wife from the nobility. And so Joseph is accepted as Egyptian and important, not as an outsider, but as one of the king's special people. This morning, we're going to look at some call a christening or baptism. And I asked beforehand Ada and Anwen what the names mean. So I take it Ada's the oldest. Which one's Ada? Ada's the oldest. Ada, does anyone know what Ada means? Well, I know you guys know. Firstborn, and which is true. Arwen means most beautiful, which I hope doesn't mean that there's going to be sibling rivalry. Or they're identical twins, so that should be okay. Joseph has two sons. You see, names mean something. So parents think about names, and they spend a lot of time, and names mean something. And Joseph's two sons is forget, because Joseph's not bitter about what's happened to him. We'll see what happens with his family in chapters to come, but God saved him. He's not bitter, and he's been blessed. So he's looking back, and he's going, forget. Even though he hasn't really forgotten, he's God's looked after me. And so we see this circle that Joseph goes from being loved in a good family to absolute disaster. I mean, your brother's faking your death and selling you into slavery. You can't really get worse than that. And then he's lifted up. Now, it's a great story, and that's the first part. But we'll see in a moment what that means for you. Okay, so anyone here seen the movie Frozen before? I think parents have sometimes seen it. I think I've seen it 150 times. I'm not always all the way through. Sorry if it's a little bit of an old movie now, children. But Frozen, and I want to show you how Frozen has got the same shape. Okay, so you've got, by the way, let me ask you, who's the main character in Frozen? Who do you say? Shout out. Elsa. I actually think it's Anna. But anyway, because we saw the first one. But yeah, that's right. They're the two main characters. Two sisters, they're happy, everything. They're wanting to build snowmen. And then tragedy strikes. Their parents die, and then broken relationship. And then it comes to sort of, sorry, spoilers. There's one point in the movie where Anna goes and sacrifices herself and gets frozen to stop Elsa. And it's the absolute pit there we see. Absolute, you know, how tragedy for these two sisters, their wonderful relationship, wonderful family, the kingdom's in disarray, it goes all the way down. And then something, there's a little sacrifice, and at the end, things get better, their relationship's better, everyone knows about Elsa's powers, and she's accepted, and there's that sort of happily ever after. Now, I'm only showing that you look at a lot of stories, you'll see there's the happily ever after. And children, so have you heard a story ends with happily ever after? Now, the thing is, grown-ups grow up and we get a little bit cynical and we go, that's not the way life works. There's no happily ever after. I want to show you that the reason why we like this story is because there's something placed inside of us that longs for a happily ever after. Something inside of us that sees all the brokenness and sees something to achieve that happily ever after is a sacrifice or something needs to happen. So we see that with Joseph. And the reason why we see it with Joseph is, I saw this picture, probably couldn't show it for copyright purposes, but anyway, I'll describe it to you. It's got Joseph standing there with his fancy coat on, and then there's a light behind him, and his shadow, it's quite clearly Jesus with the crowns. And so Joseph's story is a bit like a teaser trailer. So anyone here like Marvel movies? Okay, I'm a big Marvel geek, and we normally we watch a sort of teaser trailer. That's not even a full trailer. It's a sneak peek that gets put onto YouTube. And maybe you might know something. And it's just a small picture of what's going to come. And then you get the trailer, which is a slightly bigger picture. And that's what we have with Joseph. It's flashing forward to someone that is great, that goes and sacrifices and gets shoved in the pit, basically, and then things change. And so the Bible tells us that Jesus is that person, and you can read about it in places like Philippians and the Gospels, which is Matthew and Mark. We're told he is God himself that created the universe, is what Christians believe. And then he squashed himself down. I don't know if you've ever seen Aladdin, and the genie squashes himself into the bottle. And Jesus, God of the universe, squashed himself and became a baby, as like them. And I don't know, what can they do for themselves? I mean, I can see they can swallow things, eat, but they need help. I mean, they can't drive, can they? It's not really impressive, is it? But they're children. And I see children all around. And the God of the universe made himself helpless, a baby. The God of the universe sweated, cried. And he grew up to be a man. And things looked like they were going pretty good. He got some followers around him. He was doing amazing things. He even rose someone from the dead. He stopped a storm by saying, "Keep quiet." And the whole storm stopped. And then he dies. And it couldn't have looked lower. In fact, it's absolutely tragic. But we see that 3 days later, he says he had to die so that people could follow that shape and have something to do with them. And we see that the Bible tells us, not only did he show that he was boss even over death, but then he rose and he will one day rule the universe for everyone to see. He rules now, but one day he'll come back. And it will be a great day for those that trust Jesus, because it means that there's no more sadness, death, or pain. So I'm just going to show you something. Anyone know the name of these things? So there's things inside. I know it's a word we're not allowed to say anymore. Russian, okay? Russian dolls, okay? So the first one is Joseph. And we see the shape. And the way these things work is because they're the same shape. And we see Joseph. You see Joseph. And then the next one is Jesus. And we see it's the same shape of a glory, or hero, zero, and then ultimate hero coming back. There's something better. And then we'll see that it's not just that, but it's the story of me or humanity. And so we've got our different... over there. And we see that story, and you say, well, what's it got to do with me? Well, the Bible says mankind was created in the image of God. He was created to be caring, loving, creative, look after things, relational, and we see mankind has achieved great things in this world, wonderful things, and electric toothbrushes, it's pretty cool. Children, long ago, there was no thing called the internet, and we've got things like that. Yet we see, at the same time, we see terrible things. We see disease, which who would have thought that a cough in China would travel around and bring the world to its knees? Who would have thought a war, the Cold War, which, if you're old enough to remember, we thought was over, looks like it's coming up again. And it's just, life is a mess. And this week we've been looking at things that affect us. We've been looking at loss. We've been looking at depression. We've been looking at anxiety. These are all things that come to us. And if you're older and young, you might be dreaming of that one day where you'll get that happily ever after, that prince or princess or the wedding, and you long for that. And I remember being really excited about my wedding beforehand. But someone older and wiser who's Christian, and this sounds very cynical, they said, all relationships, even the best ones, one day end in tragedy. That one person is standing beside another one's grave. I mean, that's not a happily ever after. That's disastrous. And so we see we were created in God's image, but we see that because of us wanting to live for ourselves and ignore God, things get broken. And you can look at that in the book of Genesis. But And the ultimate end of the pit would be that one day your story stops. There's no happier after, there's death. But Jesus came into the world to show that, so that we could have that same story. He says he dies and he comes alive again to show that he has kicked death in the teeth. He's the boss, even over death. And that he will, and that what he does as well, there's also something, robes in the Bible. That robes something for us. So like Joseph had great robes, went into chains, we're told that on the cross, this is what Christians believe, that what Jesus does is he takes our robes of shame. So if you've ever done anything wrong, if you ever lied, if there's anything ever that you would be embarrassed for other people to find out, when you were mean, something you did as a child, there's all things that we mess up and we've done wrong. We've hurt people, we've lied, and he takes that on himself. He swaps coats. And so on the cross, he dies for every single thing that we've ever done wrong, all our shame and our guilt. And what he does is he clothes us with his robes, the good things, everything he ever did right, how he loved God, how he obeyed him, so that when we stand before God, we stand before him with these robes on. We're a bit like Joseph. We stand before the king of the universe, but not no longer be known as a foreigner. Joseph got accepted in a position of care and power. It's a picture of what Christians know what one day will happen to them. And so there is an end. There is a happily ever after for Christians. That death is not the end. It's the shape of things, and it's imprinted through every story. You look, films, whatever you watch, you'll see that shape. It's because it's what your heart longs for, and it's what Jesus has given. And so that's why we as Christians say it's the greatest story ever, and we're going to be committing and praying that one day it will be their story as they come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, because it really is the best thing in the universe. I just want to end with this. I've got he's probably dead now. There was a lecturer that was in South Africa. He had spent 40 years in ministry, and then he was and he was a great guy. He got it wrong, he got it right sometimes. He was real with us. So we loved him when I went to Bible college, because he would sit and chat to us about life and ministry. And he said one time, we said, "What keeps you going, Dr. Newby?" That was his name. What kept you going through all those years of ministry, tough times, hard times through life? And he said, it's not just one Bible verse, or it's not some big list of rules. He says, this, it's the picture that one day, through whatever I've been through, the Lord Jesus Christ himself will put his arms around me and say, "There, there, it's all over now. Welcome home. I've got you, and I'll never let anything bad happen to you again." And that's really from the book of Revelation 21. That was what Christians hope is, that there is a happily ever, 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 ever after. And the key is it can only be found in that shape of what Jesus has done for us. And that's the gift that he offers everyone, no matter who they are. Amen.